I think that so many people need to really embrace their story and who they are. And I think that is about being vulnerable. You know, I think whether it's a story about being a single mom or maybe, you know, whatever it is that you have, like, and you're comfortable telling those stories, especially if you're going the brand route of yourself, like, really embrace that.
Hey everyone, Emily Abadi here. You are listening to episode 292 of Hurdle, a wellness-focused podcast where I talk to inspirational people about everything from their highest highs and toughest moments to essential tips on how to live a healthier, happier, more motivated life. We all go through our fair share of hurdles, and my goal through these discussions is to empower you to better navigate yours and move with intention so that you can stride toward your own big potential and, of course, have some fun along the way. For today's episode, I am bringing back one of my favorite humans. Her name is Bettina Gozo-Szymanek. She is a health and wellness expert based out of Texas and a dear, dear friend of mine. You've heard her story on the show before. I'll link to her episode 1 and 2 in the show notes. But for today's conversation, we are rapping about all of the pain points of entrepreneurship, things that we wish that we knew when we started, how she's feeling in this new chapter of being a business owner and a mother. She's also a podcaster. She has an awesome podcast that she does alongside her husband called Beyond the Routine. And then beyond that, she also launched a new app this week. Super, super exciting. The app is called BGTV, Bettina Goza TV app. And on it, she's helping you to eliminate the overwhelm so that you can focus on building strength, having fun, and feeling good. She's also gifting the hurdlers with a month free. You can head on into the app store, download the app, BGTV, and use the code HURDLE. Again, our convo today, all about entrepreneurship. There are so many things I both wish I knew when I got started, and also I know there's so much value in the lessons that I have learned myself along the way. We rap about goal setting, how to balance personal and professional. We talk about money. We talk about owning your value and your worth. So much good stuff in here. And I'm so elated to be able to sit down with Bettina once again. Make sure you're following the show over on social. It's at Hurdle Podcast. I myself am over at Emily Abadi. It has been a whirlwind a couple of weeks over here in Asia. By the time this episode is live, I will have run the Tokyo Marathon, which is absolutely crazy to say. So I can't wait to bring you my recap episode on that. It'll come out next Monday, March 13th. But in the meantime, thank you so much for all of your well wishes. Future Emily, I want you to know that no matter what happened, you did good. Last little bit of housekeeping here. If you're not yet subscribed to the Weekly Hurdle newsletter, would love that if you join us over there. Get all the same inspiration, motivation, my gear picks, things I'm wearing, things I'm loving, so much more delivered directly into your inbox. The link to subscribe, which is absolutely free, is in the show notes. With that, let's get to hurdling. Today, I'm sitting down with the ever lovely Bettina Gozo-Szymanek. She is a health and fitness expert. How are you doing today?
I'm good. So lovely to see your face.
Oh my goodness. It's always the loveliest to see your face. Those that have been hurdling for some time now are no stranger to this lovely human. Bettina is not only a dear friend of mine, we go way back, but she has been on the show before. And after connecting for her podcast, which I'm going to have her talk to you a little bit about to kick us off, I was like, you know what? Let's run it back.
No, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited. But yeah, Beyond the Routine is a podcast that I have with my husband, who is also a performance coach, and he works with high-level athletes. And, you know, we're both parents, and we thought it would be fun to share our personal life, but also some of our expertise and how it all intertwines in the podcast. And, you know, we've been really enjoying sharing some personal things, but also integrating that whole parenting and life aspect into it.
For sure. Peach in the pit so far of podcasting.
Trying to get as many episodes as you can on time.
Yeah.
It's so totally. Fun. Yeah, it's a challenge because, you know, we're trying to think of topics every week or guests. And, you know, thinking of guests, I feel like is actually the easiest part because I have known so many wonderful people like yourself. And, you know, that's been really, really fun. But it's definitely been one of those things where we're like, oh, we got to do this. But it's been really exciting to share all of our stories with everybody.
And also a mother of two, plus doing so many other things within your business. Today, we're going to sit down and talk about so many of the things that you and I have both learned from embracing our inner entrepreneur, doing things that maybe we never anticipated. And so before we get into it, I'd love if you could give me a little bit of insight into what led you down this road to being a full-time entrepreneur, online coach and trainer.
I won't dive in too deep. You can definitely check out some of our previous episodes that are linked in the show notes. But yeah, you know, I used to play in a band full time, playing bass guitar, and spent really late nights eating gas station food, doing all of the things. And, you know, it wasn't until I went into a fitness class with my roommate and worked out. And then next thing I know, I just loved and it was obsessed with how working out made me feel. And then I decided to be a trainer full time. It was a long process, but I made it happen.
Made it happen. And so you were then thrust into a career of trying to figure out not only how to make it happen, but then of course, how to make ends meet. Now I know that life is very different today than when you started out. And a big part of that is being able to, let's say, differentiate between your personal goals and your professional goals. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. You know, a lot of it is less about the specific goal and like the achievement. It's more about like, how do I want to split up my time? And in the future, what does that time look like? Especially now that I have kids, like, do I want to spend more time? Do I want to spend a third of my day with them? Or do I want to spend two thirds of my day with them and only work a little bit, which is what I try to go for. You know, back when I was single, it was like, okay, I want to hustle. I want to do all these things. And I had all these different goals in mind. But when it comes to actually figuring out what I want for myself, I ask myself what I actually want my time to look like and what I think the perfect day would look like if I had everything I wanted. It's less about like specific check marks or achievements. It's like, how do I want to spend my day?
Interesting. Okay. So how do you go about even concepting what that split looks like?
I usually look at how I'm currently spending my time.
Okay.
And how I've spent my time over the past year and what were the most ideal things and what were things that I'd love to change and where are the things that I'm like, okay, I have to do this in order to make money or in order to feel good on a day-to-day basis, whether it's like meal prep and, you know, all those things. Because, you know, it's like some people could say, oh, well, I want to get rid of meal prepping, and but then you're not going to stay healthy or whatever it is that you want. Or, you know, just trying to figure out what are the necessities and then figuring out what are the things that I want to spend less of my time on. And I think from there, I really go to figure out if I'm really clear on who I want to serve in my job or in my app or whatever it is that I'm working on, whether it be my clients or on social, and trying to make sure that I'm not trying to serve too many people. And I really just hone in on that.
So I'm hearing two things here. First and foremost, you do yourself a favor and you do an exercise that I actually also love to do, which is dividing up what you have going on into three columns. It's the stuff that you're doing right now that you love, the stuff that you're doing right now that's like, okay, you don't mind it, and the stuff that you're doing right now that you want to do less of, that you're like, this doesn't excite me. And in that process, something else I love that you mentioned specifically with relation to food prep, that example is maybe there's something that you know that's important to you that you want to have being a part of your life, but you don't have the bandwidth to do it yourself. So yeah. Then outsourcing maybe something like that. Maybe that's an area where you're like, okay, I'm going to invest some money in this because I know that doing that will help me in the other areas of my life. And the last thing that you mentioned was doing an audit in real time of how you're executing, right? So it's not just like, okay, here's the bucket of I want to create items for social media. It's like, yes, I want to create items for social media and I want to make sure that I'm staying on track with who it is that I want to serve. So a lot of really, really excellent takeaways there.
Yeah, thank you. I know. And it's hard because, you know, I think a lot of people are very unclear of what their brand is. And just because you don't
you brand yourself, it doesn't mean you aren't a brand. You are a brand. You know, whether if you're going to a job and you're interviewing for a corporate job, you are your brand. They're trying to figure out how you can help them and how you can serve them. So it, you know, I think a lot of people aren't clear of that. So you have to really ask yourself, what do you want to be known for? What do you stand for? And what are your values?
Oh, I love those three questions. Okay. So then in the execution of setting goals, upholding boundaries between personal and professional, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that at some point, guilt and shame are going to creep in. Talk to me about what your experience has been navigating difficult emotions when it comes to highlighting things that excite you in both arenas.
Yeah, you know, the guilt and shame aspect, it's especially now as a mom, you know, I think my priorities have shifted so much. Before it was like, I was so excited to do this, to show off this and that. And like, I realized all in the end, a lot of it was just ego. And what really is important to me is what my kids think of me and what my husband thinks of me every single day. And most importantly, how I feel about myself every single day. And so it just making sure that I would stay really in tune with that. And I think with mindfulness practices and journaling practices, all of those things help me stay on top of those things instead of like looking for those achievements or those titles from different companies to help me feel like I mean something. It was more about how I felt about myself the whole time.
And that's a really hard place to get to. I love how you rounded that out, not just with the opinions of your children or your husband, but truly, how do you feel about yourself every day? Because it's hard not to, especially when you're someone like yourself that is active on social media, it's hard not to wonder or have concern over how you're going to be perceived. But at the end of the day, when you do that audit and you ask yourself, how is it that I feel about myself when I'm by myself? That is the most important question that you can answer in pursuit of whatever excites you.
Yeah. And you know, something that I've really loved as a practice too is just, you know, not only seeing where I want my time in the future, but where I want to see my career. And it's not with those achievements. It's like, what is the future me going to be doing? And I think when it comes, when we're going back to the goal setting and trying something new, you know, I think a lot of people are having a hard time like adopting a new identity or new standards. And, you know, you just keep doing the same thing over and over. And, you know, I think that becomes very uncomfortable for people because, you know, that contradicts what you've already done. So imagining yourself where you want to be in that future role, whether it's you want more time for yourself and you see yourself as this other amazing human that's very successful, seeing yourself there and doing all of the habits that get you there, get you even closer to there. Because I think a lot of people just say, oh, I'm not going to get there. Or, I can't even see myself there. And what happens from there, it's just like you kind of do the same thing over and over. So you have to kind of like, just like, I'm very into the whole like manifestation and, you know, just seeing yourself where you are in the future so that everything you do step by step now gets you there.
How does manifestation work for you?
I do a lot of just really deep meditations. It took me a really long time to get there. I think for a long time, I was doing Headspace 10 minutes since 2014. It's been 10 years now, 10 minutes every day. But now I will straight up just like lay down, really just imagine myself in the places that I want to be, whether it be these opportunities like Singapore or Philippines. And just, I guess the way for me is I almost pretend like I'm these people that I see, that I look up to and doing exactly what they're doing in that space. And I feel like my body, I almost like embody that. And then my attitude, everything that like I feel, everything I say yes to, everything says is so much easier to say no to whenever I know that I'm going to be acting like this person. But it's not, it doesn't mean I want to be that person. It's just like the things that they're doing. And then I figure out quickly, like if it's, I don't know, Robin Arzone, amazing. But she's super busy. She's doing all of these things. And she's an amazing mom with two kids. But there are a lot of things that I probably wouldn't enjoy. I don't love New York. Like the way her lifestyle is, she's like, she's in a New York thing, I think almost every single day. Like there's certain things that sometimes I'm like, okay, I think that I want that. But when I really truly embody it, it helps me shift my goals a little bit.
Yeah, first of all, finding people that you admire, I feel like is really helpful when it comes to identifying the things that excite you, because it's not just that you admire them, it's that they inspire you, right? So what is it about them that really feels in line with what it is that you want for yourself? So that's a great question to ask. And then the next thing that you do, which is super helpful here, is to then align it with who you are and what makes sense for you. So just because in this example, you admire Robin, it doesn't mean that you're going to literally emulate absolutely everything that she's doing. However, yes, as a fellow mother of two, also within the health and fitness space, there are a lot of parallels that can be drawn between the both of you. So it makes complete sense that you are like, okay, what would make sense for me and how can I emulate that on my side?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's been such an interesting journey, especially since I have been in such big cities like Chicago and LA, and I always thought that's where I wanted to be. But then once, you know, I met Nick, we moved to Texas, like I wake up every single morning so happy and content with everything that we have, having our space, going outside, enjoying the sun and having a slow morning. And that's what works for me, you know? And I think that a lot of people do that comparison game and they think that they want the life that they see in somebody else's life. But then they actually put themselves there and they're like, wait, I think what I got, like what I got going on right now. Or maybe I like this aspect of it. And then I change a little bit here and there. And, you know, some people might want to just straight up move to New York and figure out what that's like.
They might. The thing that I appreciate is this space that you're in where you have such a firm grasp on what feels right for you now. Was there a time where you did struggle with the things that you thought that you wanted versus what actually felt right?
Oh yeah. I think especially when I went to Apple, I thought I was working with Nike for about 8 years at that point, moved over to Apple. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, this is it. Like, oh my gosh, I have security. I have all of the things I've ever wanted. And then when I had it and I was like, no, I already had it. You know, I already had the freedom to do whatever I wanted at my own time. I already had the capabilities of building my brand, but I realized I just had to be really happy with what I had already. Yeah, you know, and it was just such a big learning experience for me to discover, try something new. I met a lot of amazing people there. And, you know, I just realized like, I want to be able to do my own thing. And I don't need that security. I don't need all of those things to make me feel like that's what's going to make me successful.
Yeah, this is like a general discussion that I feel like I have all the time offline, but it's very valuable here as to, again, seeing something and being like, that looks like exactly what I need. And then experiencing it and being okay with the fact that it isn't what you needed at all, right? Yeah. You can't get to this place of understanding until you give yourself the agency to try. And so for you to step into a role for the first time in forever where you had benefits and PTO and you could support your family in a different way, of course there was something so exciting about that. But what you learned throughout that experience is although that it had benefits and perks for sure, without a doubt, you are the type of person who can be secure with a lack of regularity. You're a true entrepreneur.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it also took a lot of courage to leave. I think it was very scary to leave, especially at that point. I had Aluna and Nick and I were like, okay, well, let's just do it. And, you know, having a partner that really supported me in that was a really big thing too, because, you know, if I was by myself, I probably just would have done it. Like, no, like didn't even think twice about it, but having him and him at the time, not having like a secure job as well, it was just more like entrepreneurship, just kind of doing the entrepreneur thing. You know, you never know what you're going to make. And so whenever I said, hey, I don't know if I want to do this anymore, he was like, cool, let's figure it out. We always figure it out.
Yeah, that's a common question that we ask within life coaching, like what's the worst thing that's going to happen? And 99.9% of the time, the worst thing that's going to happen is that you're just exactly where you started, right? Yeah. So by saying that and thinking that through, depending on the situation, of course, you have an opportunity then to be like, oh, it really isn't that bad. And I also love having a partner that supports you and is an entrepreneur. Let's dig into that a little bit, what it's like for the two of you to kind of find stability together within the instability. How does that work in your family?
Oh, yeah. You know, people always, like people that are very close to us that know both of us are always like, you too. You guys are hilarious. Cause we literally, like, if, like, we just trust our gut. We've both been gut people ever since we were little. And I think while that can be very dangerous at times, it hasn't screwed us yet, knock on wood. But, you know, there are plenty of times where we just have to, you know, just work as a team, and we know that we're working together no matter what. And we're never working against each other. Every decision that we make, we know that it's for the benefit of our family. And if the reason is like, hey, I want more time with the kids, I don't want to work as much, or I want this or that, like, we'll say, okay, cool, we'll figure it out. Maybe I need to pick up a few more clients or this and that, or figure out what other projects I can work out to make more money. But, you know, I think we just see where we want to be, and we talk about our goals every single day. Not even just goals, but just talk about where we are. We have like assessments of everything, I would say almost every day. And I think just a big thing for both of us is just like really being grateful for everything we have, because a lot of people, I think, you know, if they don't have a lot, they wish that they had more. And I'm truly in that abundance mindset. The more that you see what you have and you're grateful for it, the more that comes to you. And, you know, we both are in that world of service. And we know that the more we serve others and the more that we give to others, the more that we'll get naturally.
What do regular assessments look like for you?
After we put the kids down, like Nick will go outside and like have some relaxing time. And then I'll like text him. I'll be like, hey, you got a minute? And so he'll come inside and we literally will just like sit there and talk about what our day looked like, what the week has looked like, what his clientele looked like, what do the next few months look like? And you know, we never go that deep every day, but you know, typically it's like every day is more like a what's tomorrow look like? What's the weekend look like? And because some, you know, we are very busy. You know, we have the kids in the morning, we try to spend time. And whenever we're with the kids, we don't try to talk about work. And it's also very hard to talk about work around the kids because they want your attention. But, you know, we're very big on making sure we're just on the same page. So at the end of the day, what happened today? What is something that you're worried about? And then what's coming up for the week?
Taking a break from today's show to talk to you about the thing I cannot imagine my last 2 weeks without, and that is Element. You all have heard me talk about Element before. It's an electrolyte drink mix that's got everything you need and nothing you don't. And it is my BFF, especially while training for an endurance event and traveling too. And that's because hydration isn't just about drinking water. Being optimally hydrated is about optimizing your body's fluid ratios. And that fluid balance depends on so many factors, including the intake and excretion of electrolytes. Element has no dodgy ingredients that are found in many of the sports drinks you might be buying at your local bodega or convenience store. And it's absolutely delicious. My favorite flavor, the watermelon salt, but they've got so many good ones to pick from. Orange chocolate, which makes a bomb hot chocolate in the colder months. Citrus, and so much more. Of course, they are giving hurdlers a deal to get a free sample pack so you can try all of the flavors with your first purchase. Head on over to drinkelement.com/hurdle. That's drinkelment.com/hurdle to get yours today. So to go back to what we started our conversation talking about when it comes to kind of dividing your time or setting goals between personal and professional, in your day-to-day audit of what's going on, do you feel as though you're paying attention to where you are putting most of your efforts?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think everything goes in seasons too. You know, like as of late, I've been working on launching my app. So like when our nanny is here, I'm like, I got to get outside and do all this stuff for the app. I'm working like 12 to 5. Usually when she's here, I might go inside and play with the kids for a little bit, come outside, do a few things, come back in, answer a few emails. So it just comes in season. So like we have the communication of like, hey, I'm at like 10% right now. I need you to pick up the other 90%.
because I'm just not feeling it right now. And so that has been really big for us. Like, for example, Nick woke up this morning. I got my workout in, so he had to take care of the kids. And Osa was just on another level. And then his coffee maker thing wasn't working. So, and then he was just like, we communicate this. He's like, I'm at 10%. Like, I need you to pick up the other 90. So I was like, all right, let's go do something. I'm dancing around for the kids, trying to make everyone happy. And, you know, we're really good at sensing it from each other, but we're also even better at explaining it to each other. Like, you know, it could go the way like, oh, I'm like, oh man, he's so cranky. What's his deal? But instead I'm like, oh, I think he might need something. So I ask him like, hey, where are you at right now? What's going on? And he'll be like, I just need a little help. You know, I think communication more than anything.
Was there a point where you established this model within your family? I think that this is applicable, of course, beyond a family unit, right? In so many relationships, if you got to a place where you felt comfortable enough to communicate what's really going on, I say that knowing that there is difficulty sometimes with admitting when you feel like you can't handle everything. So was there a certain experience or something that taught you the importance of this communication? And how did you get over some of that guilt that comes with not being at 100?
Yeah, you know, I think that just being thrown in with kids was definitely the biggest, you know, the biggest wake up call, you know, just being like, okay, like we can't just be overwhelmed all the time. Someone has to pick up the slack. And I think it was, I don't remember who we saw, but we saw somebody else doing this on Instagram. One of the many good things about Instagram, someone was talking about it on their podcast and how they do that. And ever since we saw that, we just were like, you know what, this is what we need to do. Because there'll be so many times where we're just like, like it's just chaos. And it was just like that moment where we were like, this is like a good thing for us to see when we're not stressed. So we knew that when we were stressed, we can apply it. Because I think a lot of people, they try to talk about things when they're stressed, but or when there is chaos, but you have to like really talk about those things when there's a controlled environment.
Yeah, this is like that lesson of never going to the grocery store when you're hungry.
100%. Yes.
Totally the same thing. I do want to double click on we were talking about entrepreneurship, the life of an entrepreneur, how it can be quite hectic. What advice do you offer to aspiring entrepreneurs, individuals who may either be ready to take the leap from a job where someone else writes their paycheck versus, or perhaps someone who is just in the phase of thinking about it?
I think in the beginning, it's really good to do a lot of different things and just to kind of dip your feet into different buckets. And I've been reading daily Robert Greene, his Daily Laws. And I love that he shared that Ryan Holiday, who I'm such a big fan of, Ryan Holiday was like, hey, I want to be your intern and I want to do all these things for you for free, basically. And Robert Greene actually learned a bunch of stuff from Ryan. So I just thought that was so interesting. And I think whenever you want to be that person that wants to learn all these different things from a mentor, you also want to figure out a way that you can serve them as well. So I loved that Robert was like, Ryan had so much to offer me, even though he was really looking to me to be his mentor. So I think it just has to be reciprocated. I think a lot of times, I think as a coach or someone that's been doing this for about 10 plus years, I've had a lot of people like say, hey, can I be your mentor? Or can I try this out? Or can I do this? And I feel like it's a lot of taking, but I think it should be reciprocal. And so if you're thinking of taking the leap or trying to do something else, like yes, have like a mentor and have something that someone that you look up to, but I think that try to figure out how you can serve them in a way. And I think that you'll find that you'll learn so much from them, but then also you'll learn a lot from each other.
Such a great through line that you're really reiterating here, being someone who is in the service industry, knowing that it can be a lot to constantly give, but there's so much opportunity in the act of that giving and that 99.9% of the time, it's always going to come back around to you. I also really appreciate the sentiments of this tip, which is don't go at it alone, right? So as you are on your quest, trying to figure out what feels right for you as you move forward through entrepreneurship, knowing that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to have questions. Reach out to people that inspire you, that make you excited. And the worst thing, again, we're back here, that's going to happen if you ask somebody something and they say no, is that you're exactly where you started.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the community aspect is such a big thing too. I love that too, because it's like, you know, even just moving here to Texas, like I was pregnant the first year, then it was postpartum the next 4 to 6 months. And I didn't realize how lonely I was until I had community again. And it's so important to have those relationships. You know, I had all my friends in LA, but they were in LA, and, you know, and now that I have people here, it's really nice to be able to connect and grow with people. And it doesn't even need to be people that are here, but like even just connecting with people on FaceTime and connecting with people in the grocery store or, you know, just anything is just like, I think that people really need connection and community.
Oh, yes, 100%. Even though I work for myself, clearly I do occasionally get the opportunity to talk to awesome people like yourself, but I spend so much time alone. So I build in community time to my schedule when I sit down and think about what's going on for the week on Sundays. I make it a goal every single week to make a friend date, at least one date with a friend, usually for some sort of a workout instead of just sitting at a restaurant or a bar, right? Doing something that I can look forward to. Maybe it's on Thursday and I set it on Sunday. And then it's like, okay, this is something that's going to be the highlight of my week. I know it. And it builds in community for me, especially during my busiest times, especially in the weeks and the stretches of time where I feel like there is no way that I could make something like that happen. It's a priority that I've made for myself.
It really is, because it gives you more space.
It does give you more space, and it gives you the opportunity to fill up your own cup. You can't pour from an empty cup. And there are going to be so many things that happen during the week that poke holes in your cup, no matter how big or small. So it's up to you to do the damage control ahead of time so that you can repair as you go. I'm really loving this conversation on entrepreneurship, and it's making me feel a lot less alone in what I go through. When you started out, Bettina, what would you say was one of the most difficult parts of the learning curve of being your own boss?
I think at some point it was knowing your worth and knowing where my boundaries were. Because you're an entrepreneur, you want to say yes to everything because you don't, you just are like, oh, like everything is exciting. But I think as you get into it more after so many years, you are really honing in on what your brand is, who you're serving. And then that kind of helps you figure out what to say no to and where you could set your boundaries and set your rate at. You know, there are some times where, you know, I'm like, yeah, I would do it for X amount because I know that there are so many other ways that this can serve me and my brand. But then if it's something that I'm like not very excited about, or I know it's not going to elevate other things that are very important to me, maybe I will charge a little bit higher. And it is scary. You know, I mean, it is scary when you say, hey, this is my rate. I think that you just got to build that confidence. And I think whatever industry you're in, you just have to be patient and just continue to learn and grow and build that confidence within yourself. And also talk to other people in your industry and those mentors and figure out, you know, I think more people should be talking about money and, you know, and being open about that, because a lot of people don't know how that is and where the rates are at.
It's so true, regardless of what industry you're in. Mm-hmm. I also, on that note of owning your value and owning your worth, you have to get to a place where you are okay walking away from someone who doesn't see your value. And that's super challenging. Clearly, over time, those numbers, they're going to ebb and flow, right? They're going to change from when you have 1 to 2 years of experience versus when you've been working in your field for a decade, right? Yes. And owning what it is that you bring to the table is intimidating at times, but it is what makes you you. There is one you, right? Mm-hmm. And if a company values you, values what you bring to the table, then telling them what it is that your time is worth, that your services are worth, won't be as scary.
Yes, Preach.
Preach. And I also love what you said about knowing that it's bigger than dollars, right? Like if there is something that has a deep connection to your values, your purpose, your passion, it might be disheartening that they don't have the budget to pay you what you're after, but that doesn't mean that you can't still find value in collaborating with this person or brand, knowing that it is serving a different side of your ethos. So maybe it's a charitable opportunity, or maybe it's an opportunity to come together in community, and community is something that excites you. Perhaps there's movement involved, and movement is one of your core values, whatever it might be for your individual situation. Know that money is only one way that something can be worth your time.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So right off the get-go, getting to a place where you feel as though you can really articulate what your value is, knowing your worth, definitely important for an entrepreneur. And then I do want to circle back though to the concept of setting goals, because I think that that can be very intimidating for someone who's just starting out. Can you recall how your goal setting has evolved as an entrepreneur? Because I'm sure when you started out, you had very different goals than you
have now.
Very
different goals. When I first became a trainer, I was actually still playing in the band full time. So I used to play in a top 40 cover band. So I'm waking up at 5 a.m. to teach classes. But then on the weekends, I was staying up till 3 a.m. So as you can imagine, I was able to do that. I was in my early 20s. But, you know, I feel like I knew it wasn't sustainable. So at that time, I was just like, okay, how do I become a trainer full time? So it was less at that point, like, okay, I want to have this many clients, this and this and that. It was more like, okay, how can I transition from this job to the next? So I think that a lot of people can relate to that when they're making the change from one job to another. Like I was hustling for like months and months and months, just like not getting any sleep. But then I knew that my ultimate goal was to become a trainer full time. And then I finally got that goal. And then at that point, I made bigger goals, whether it be to have this many clients, to make this amount of money. And then I started like dabbling and getting on camera more. And then I was like, hey, I want to be the next Jillian Michaels, but the nice version. And so it was just like this ongoing, like I was starting to be more like visionary about it. And that's when the whole like manifestation, seeing those like expanders in my life, like Jillian Michaels, and seeing what they were doing. Because at the time, there was really nobody like Jillian Michaels, like on TV. You know, I wanted to be that. And now obviously, there are so many ways to be on TV or to get in front of people that aren't just your people in your classes. So I've definitely expanded from there. But now I'm always asking myself, how can I serve? Obviously, there's an amount of money attached to certain things, but I'm always asking myself, who can I serve? How can I serve? And how is this going to help my everyday and my schedule that I want for myself?
Yeah. In those early phases, what would you say was one of the biggest mistakes that you made?
Ooh. You know what? I think I was trying too hard. I mean, I was trying to be, and I think everybody has this imposter syndrome. I was trying to be like, I wasn't honest with myself. I wasn't like, hey, I've only been doing this for 6 months. I was trying so hard to be like, I'm so smart. I know all the things about training. But, you know, truthfully, I was just playing in a band and really liked fitness and wanted to start working out and start training people. And I think that at times it hurt some of the relationships that I had with clients, because then I felt like I was almost like trying too hard to impress them. And like I was like pushing them too hard. And I could only remember specifically one client that way. And I feel like I always think about it. I'm like, man, I feel like if I were to train them now, I could have impacted their life differently. And I really like, I just wish that I would have had less ego then than I do now. And so I think overall, it was just the ego, especially when you're trying something new and you really just have to let go of that. And where it really changed for me was when I read Ryan Holiday's Ego is the Enemy book. I really am such a big fan of Ryan Holiday and all of his books. And that one was a big, big game changer for me.
I'm going to have to download this. What a great recommendation.
Yeah. I'm surprised you have never read it. It's really great.
I have it. And I appreciate the reflection and also that you evolved over time as you came to understand what excited you, what you felt like could be good at. You embraced the pivot. And so often as an entrepreneur, I feel as though this is what I'm good at. This is the lane I should stay in, period, right? And then I have these moments where I have to shake myself and be like, just because you haven't tried it before doesn't mean that you can't be good at it. Or just because you did it this one way previously doesn't mean you can't get to the same goal by quote unquote breaking the matrix and going about it a different way. And so I really appreciate that. Although you had this original goal of being, you know, a nice Jillian Michaels, you started to understand that there were other things that interested in you and that you could kind of follow your own path to getting wherever might be right for you. And also this note that if it feels too hard, it's probably not right.
Yes.
How important is that, Bettina?
Yes, 100%. You should never force anything. Should not feel like you're forcing anything.
The only things that I will force are getting paid. Yes.
Fact. That is a fact.
It is the only thing that I will email relentlessly about if it is beyond the scope of when we agreed upon. At this point, I have come to realize that if it is too hard to forge a new relationship or get in the mix with a certain person, whether it's someone I want to have on the show or someone that's working at a brand, whatever it might be, if it's not feeling, I don't want to say easy because it's not always easy, but it should not be the bane of your existence.
Yes, exactly. Life is really too short. You know, there are so many things that there are so many other opportunities and so many other people that would love to be on your podcast. So many brands that would love to work with you. And that's where it really comes down to. I think that we just try so hard to get somewhere or to get certain things when a lot of it is right in front of you and there's people knocking at your doors nonstop. So I think that you're exactly right. You don't just need to force anything.
Yeah. I will say, adding to the list of like maybe mistakes that I made early on, it really is in line with what you are saying by being a yes person to everything. I don't regret being a yes person. I think that it taught me a lot. But what it also did was it took my bandwidth away from things that excited me. I was saying yes to a lot of things and didn't necessarily feel aligned with all of them. So that was a problem. And then the other thing that being a yes person did was it really continuously drained my cup. I didn't feel like I had enough time for myself. And so it's, in retrospect, a lesson. It wasn't a mistake, but now I know that no is my biggest, most greatest word in my vocabulary. Yes. And to be able to use the word no, especially when it comes to taking care of myself so that I can do the things that make me excited and be more of a person that can be in service, that is it. That's the way that you need to go about your day to day.
And, you know, you said it's not necessarily a mistake. It's a big lesson. I think that's why trying different things and then assessing later on, instead of just keep saying yes, 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 yes for years and years and years, which I think is what a lot of corporate people do. After a while, they're like, wait, I don't even know what just happened after the past 10 years of my life. You haven't taken the time to reassess and figure out, what have I tried? What have I been doing? What do I need to change? And, you know, especially in the beginning of an entrepreneur life, you have to try different things, but then after a while, you know what is going to fill your cup. And then you know how you can serve at the highest level so that you can craft your schedule and be able to serve at the highest level.
I think another huge mistake that people make is they think to themselves, well, someone else is already doing something similar, so I better not even try.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That, especially, I mean, let's apply it again to fitness training. There are gazillions of fitness trainers, but there's only one you, and there's only one you that can interact with people in a certain way and is in your certain location and has your specific skill set. And knowing that and owning that is so crucial to being able to go after the things that excite you.
Yeah. And really, really just embracing that and who you are and who you can serve. Because I think a lot of people are trying to serve the masses and trying to adapt themselves to serve everybody around them. But like who you are and what your story is, that can make such a big impact on one person if you truly are who you are. Because, you know, I mean, I'm really excited because even just being Filipino and a trainer, 10 years ago, I didn't see many Filipino trainers. And, you know, over the 10 years of being on platforms like Nike and Apple, like I've had so many Filipinos message me and say, I've never even seen somebody that looks like me work out. And to have you make this impact on me is amazing. You know, and I didn't realize what a difference that would make because, you know, growing up, I was the only Filipino in a very white neighborhood, but my mom did everything to make sure that I didn't feel different. But I did feel different, but I never really knew how important it was to embrace my culture because I didn't have anyone else around me. And I didn't know that it was going to make a big difference because I never knew what it felt like to see somebody else that was brown like me. And so the fact that I was able to hear that from so many people around the world just made such a big impact in my heart. And I think that so many people need to really embrace their story and who they are. And I think that is about being vulnerable. You know, I think whether it's a story about being a single mom or maybe, you know, whatever it is that you have, like, and you're comfortable telling those stories, especially if you're going the brand route of yourself, like really embrace that.
Yeah. I was listening to a podcast, I think it was Hoda Kotb's, and she was talking with Mel Robbins, and Mel Robbins mentioned that every single person on earth has the same purpose, and that purpose is actually just to be entirely authentically themselves. And so to come to a place where you understand that you as your authentic self not only have value, but then can help other people regardless of what you look like, what your circumstance has been, what your jobs have been, parents, children, whatever it is, you have an individual that is unique to you to show the world who it is that you are and be authentic about it. That's just truly the most special, special thing.
I love that. And I think that's just especially important in relationships, whether it be your husband, your partner, your best friend, or coworkers, like whatever you can do to help enhance somebody and their skills and who they are is so important. Because I feel like so many times, like we get so annoyed with somebody and you want to change the way they're doing a certain thing, but like help them embrace all of their strengths and who they are. I think that can go such a far way and that could build someone's confidence and that can help them really just tell their story and embrace who they are and make an impact in everyone around them.
For sure. Now, before I let you go today on the topic here of entrepreneurship lessons, I would be remiss if we didn't talk about money at least a little bit. So when it comes to being in this place, you're a relatively new entrepreneur, you have an idea of how much money you're trying to make every month, how much revenue you need, what your overhead costs are. What advice do you have for the person that inevitably runs into the position where they're worried about making enough to do what they need to do?
I think it's important to know there's always enough and you just have to find it. You have to have that hustle to really want to find it and figure out where it's at because there's always enough out there. There's always enough opportunity. And if you think that there's not enough, you're not looking hard enough.
That's a really good piece of advice. I know that when I started out, I had a benchmark of how much money I wanted to secure at the halfway point of the month before. So for instance, if it is February right now and next month is March, by February 15th, I want to have allocated like 75% of what I'm trying to make in March ahead of time. Then I trust the process and the universe and that I'll be able to figure out where the other 25% comes from. Of course, certain months are going to look a little bit different and certain months I'd be able to secure 100 or double, like whatever it was that was bigger than that for myself. Knowing that, again, going to this concept that what is for you won't pass you by, that was the attitude, the approach that I had to take when it came to securing the things that felt right for me and then thus filling up that monthly budget, so to speak.
Yeah. No, I love
that. It's hard though. It's so hard though, especially when you're starting out, which is why there are so many different ways that it can look at the beginning, especially when it's, I have a full-time job, but I have this idea, or like I've saved enough money, so I'm ready to make the jump. Like whatever your circumstance might be, know that there are so many different ways to dip your toe into trying something new. And you just need to be able to figure out which one feels right for you.
And the last thing I'll add, and it's more of a logistics thing. If you're going to be an entrepreneur, make sure you put away money for taxes.
Amen. I put aside 35% of every check that I get into a separate bank account.
Yep.
I have a savings account. a business savings account, and an Italy trip account.
Hey, I love that.
And a personal, personal checking account.
You have to. You kind of have to separate. I think there is something beautiful about separating all of the accounts too, just because, you know, I think if you see it all in one thing, it's, you know, just depending on, you know, what your history is with money. I think a lot of people need to make sure that they have those separate accounts to make sure that they can have everything in check and obviously have those emergency funds as well.
What excites you right now, Bettina?
My app, Bettina Goes to TV app. That's I'm just really excited because I think this is something that, you know, everything that I've learned over the past 10 years of coaching and being on camera and working with so many different brands, I've really embraced what people need and the combination of what my skills are and how I can serve. I've really combined into this one thing, and I'm excited to see how I can impact more people's lives and hopefully more Filipino lives.
More. When you create an app, first of all, the whole concept sounds extremely overwhelming. I'm just so curious, how did you know where even to begin with that?
I've been doing so much research for so long, and you know, I've had so many developers reach out to me over the past 5 years, and I've saved every single email because, you know, at the time I knew that I wasn't allowed to have my own app, but I just was still like, you know what? I'm just going to save it. I'm going to flag it. It's going to be in this folder, and one day maybe I can revisit it. And I'm so glad that I did, because wow, just at that time, 5 years ago, it wasn't a thing, but 5 years later it is. And I'm glad I saved those relationships. I talked to a lot of people, have been working nonstop. My brain hurts a lot. I've been working a lot later and waking up really early just to get everything set up. But I'm really excited, and I think that it's going to serve a lot of people. And I think that's the biggest thing for me, is I've just had that service on top of mine.
When can we expect the app?
By the time this releases, I believe it'll be out. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God. And the name of the app?
BGTV.
BGTV. Well, I will make sure that when this goes live, we link to BGTV in the show notes so the hurdlers can get some cool workouts from you.
I'm going to give you, you hurdler listeners, a special coupon code for 14 days free. So make sure you check that out as well.
14 days free. The coupon code is going to be in the show notes. So make sure to click on over there. Just so they know again, what else can they expect within the BGTV app?
Yes, you'll get some follow along workouts, whiteboard workouts if you like to do things on your own at the gym. And then I also have some wellness, mindful moment practices, some training tips. And then I absolutely love the community wall, because it's something that I've really wanted in an app, to be able to connect with all the people that want to do my workouts. I'm doing form checks on there. Like, I want to be able to scale my coaching on a different level. So now I can actually coach everyone at an affordable price.
I'm so excited for you. Aside from the app, how do the hurdlers keep up with you? Give us your information.
Oh yeah. You can find me at IG at Bettina Gozo.
Beautiful. I'm over at Emily Abadi and at Hurdle Podcast. Another hurdle conquered. Catch you guys next time.